Mouse. We are doing a interview for Port Airport Authority with Dan Markham. Welcome. I'll be asking you a few questions, and then counselors will be able to ask questions as well also afterward. And I believe this goes on, is on the, will go on the coming agenda. Or
right, correct.
It's on the agenda. Monday following this agenda, it'll be coming up. So
not this Monday.
Yeah, not this Monday, but next Monday. Agenda. I'll help you. More confusion, sorry. Okay, I'll start with the questions. Number one, do you have personal or financial interests, direct or indirect, with the Airport Authority Board, or are you engaged in any capacity whereby a conflict of interest may arise? Thank you. Please give a brief outline of your educational and work experience. How will your background experience be of benefit in relation to the Airport Authority? Thank you. I think you talked a lot about this next question, but I'll give you more space to talk about it. Yeah. Why are you interested in serving on this particular board? Thank you. Do you foresee any personal scheduling conflicts which may prevent you from attending the regular meetings of the authority? What do you consider the personal strengths you would bring to the board? Are you presently serving on any other boards or commissions? If so, which ones? Is there anything else you would like to add concerning your possible appointment to the board authority? Thank you. That's the end of my questions. Counselors, you have questions. Counselor Tamanic?
I do have a question. In your resume, you wrote that you have business relationships with 7 of the 8 other board members and the Duluth Airport Executive Director and the Director of Communications. Your resume or in your application somewhere you wrote that. Is that not true?
That is.
Thank you, Councillor Tamanic. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, Chair Vanette. Thank you, Dan, for your interest in serving on this, the authority at the airport. I'm curious, with the City of Duluth has a goal, at least from the administration and with support from this council, of being carbon neutral by 2050, and your work at through Krauss Anderson, who, of course, we know does a tremendous amount of work in this whole, in the city and in the region. And then the airport certainly is going to have a lot of work to do to do its part to move toward this. Is that something that you, a goal that you would look toward? And how would you look at climate change as you?
Councilors, I am seeing none. Good, councilors. All right, thank you very much, Dan Markham, for coming. And we will, not this coming Monday, but the next Monday of a council. And I'll be in touch to clear that up with you.
Okay.
Great. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
skills.
You need that.
Okay. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Oh
passing notes. What's that?
Who's your IQ?
Seconds, counselors. Y'all. All right. Welcome back. It's been 749 days since we've done this. It's very possible that I will screw it up. We're going to have grace with each other as we go. We have three counselors who've never been in chambers for a meeting, and a few of us who don't even remember what it's like to be here. So I just wanted to welcome you all back and welcome the staff back too. Our technology is in a little bit of a transition, we would call it. So tonight we are going to be doing it the very old-fashioned way, by raising your hand, and I will call on you. To do that, we will also have live mics for everybody, so please mind that as we go. But we will get started with our agenda session. And the first committee we'll go to is Finance with Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. Do I need to push anything or is it on?
No, mics are going to be on the entire night tonight.
Okay, so welcome. I am not one of the three who have never been here before. I was here twice when we were all first elected, but I also served on the Planning Commission for about 4 years. So nonetheless, I'm going to read item number two, Resolution 291. It's really different being here. Resolution approving the budget for the fiscal year May 1st, 2022 to April 30th, 2023 in the amount of $7,165,688 for the Spirit Mountain Recreation Area Authority. Item number three, Resolution 319, resolution approving a collective bargaining agreement between the City of Duluth and Law Enforcement Labor Services 363 for the years 2022 to 2023.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. Good evening, everyone. Mr. Shuckman, Resolution 291, the Spirit Mountain Recreation Authority. So this is very tangentially has to do with this. I'm just curious about where the administration is at with the recommendations of the task force and the consultant around the future management and the commitments of management in long term for the authority, for the mountain. Don't have a mic.
Okay. Clerk Johnson, if we could get those mics unmuted too, that'd be great.
Test.
There we go. All right. Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Andor.
Thank you, President Forsman. Question on item number two, Resolution 291. We know that the amount requested for the budget for the fiscal year for Spirit Mountain is $7.1 million. Of the three top bonding priorities, LGA, Spirit Mountain, and the lift bridge, what is the dollar figure we're asking for in bonding for that? I can't remember if it was specific.
President Forsman, Councilor Randolph, the bonding request for Spirit Mountain is, I believe, a $24 million ask, of which 12 would come from city funds and 12 from the state. Director Philby Williams is much better versed on that, and so if you have more specific questions, I would defer to him.
Thank you.
All right, seeing no other hands up, Councillor Hobbs.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 315 authorizing the sole source purchase of a 5-year license subscription for Geographic Information System, GIS, license from Nearmap US Incorporated for an amount not to exceed $65,000.
Councillor Hobbs with no hands up. Moving on to personnel with Councillor Van Nett.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 5, Resolution 317, a resolution appointing Terry Rayola and Scott Wishard to the Energy Plan Commission.
Councillor Van Nett, no hands up. We'll move to the Committee of the Whole under my name. Resolution 320, amending Resolution 22-0103 to add support for the Duluth Air National Guard Aircraft Shelter Project. I'll just give you a quick background on this. This is not a bill that existed when we passed our legislative priorities in January. This came forward over the last couple of weeks, primarily with the advocacy of the Duluth Chamber's Military Affairs Committee. And it is $15 to $25 million to rebuild the aircraft hangars up at the 148th, which would hopefully cement their long-term future with the federal government. So it's a quasi-state and federal relationship there as the National Guard, and this bill is moving through the legislature right now. So this is us adding it to our legislative priorities and deciding it should be on there. And I'll open it up for questions. Councilor Mayle.
Thank you, President Forsman. I was curious, maybe this is for CAO Shuckman, if we add this to our legislative asks, do we anticipate that it'll affect any of our other asks that we're making at the Capitol?
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, I don't believe so. We have a fairly lengthy list, and what this does is inform the work that our lobbyist does and let the lobbyist know when to provide support or make clear that the city is supportive of a specific item, but I don't believe it would effectively move anything down the list.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Hobbs.
Thank you, President Forsman. If I recall, it was probably 3 years ago, it came up in DETA, there was a potential of doing service on military planes. Does this impact that in any possible way in the future, having these updated hangars? That might be a question for Chris Fleish.
I won't throw Director Fleish under the bus on that. So I'm not the expert, Councillor Hobbs, on this, but my understanding is what this hangar project could do is position the 148th to not just have the F-16s that they have today, but potentially get the next generation plane, which is the F-35. So I would have to follow up directly to answer your question directly, though.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Seeing no other hands up, Councilor Randorf, welcome.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 7, Resolution 284, is a resolution approving DETA Resolution 22D-18, authorizing First Amendment to the agreement with Jamar Company for maintenance of the MRO. Item 8, Resolution 286, is a resolution authorizing reimbursement agreement with St. Louis and Lake County Regional Railroad Authority for a portion of the cost of signage at the railroad trestles at 32nd and 36th Avenues East. Item 9, Resolution 312, is a resolution authorizing Minnesota Investment Fund grant contract of $500,000 with Minnesota Deed.
Thank you, Councilor Randorf. CEO Schuckman.
Thank you, President Forsman. We were made aware today that number 9, Resolution 312, is missing a piece from Minnesota Deed that we need to move forward that needs to be attached to this. So I will request that this be returned to the administration on Monday, and we'll bring it back as soon as we have that item complete.
Thank you, CEO Schuckman. Okay. That brings us to Public Works and Utilities and our Councilor Mayo.
I ask one question about the last
round. Oh, yeah. If you had a question, go for it.
Sorry, I didn't get my hand up in time. Resolution 286 with the signage at the trestles. I was just curious if anyone has background on like what kind of signage that will be, if it's going to be, if it's going to have any lights or any other components, or if it's just normal railroad signage.
President Forsman, Councillor Mayo, this is a project that the county and the railroad are working on together, and that the city is contributing about 10% of the cost as a part of a partnership. The railroad is designing warning sign and devices. There's an Exhibit A that does detail some of the specifics, but we would need to ask additional information of either the railroad or of the county for an exact design of what it does, what those signs will look like, and what the functionality will be, but the intent is to show drivers what the clearance is as they drive through. And so I don't believe that there is a light up aspect so much as it is intended to be real clear what the height level you have to deal with as you go.
Thank you. Okay. Resolution 287 is a resolution approving a county project within municipal corporate limits for improvements for county state aid Highway 54 or Piedmont Avenue. Resolution 288 is a resolution awarding contracts to Northland Constructors of Duluth, Ulan Brothers, and Monarch Paving Company for bituminous hot mix blacktop for street maintenance activities in 2022. Resolution 290 is a resolution authorizing a First Amendment to the Professional Services Agreement with Green Espel PLLP, increasing the contract amount by $120,000 for a total contract amount not to exceed $160,000. Resolution 292 is a resolution awarding a contract to JMF Construction Incorporated for the 2022 citywide patch and sidewalk project in the amount of $222,588.90.
Thank you, Councilor Mayo. Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman. Just to point it out to councilors, I hadn't seen it until today that we're having a closed session on Monday at 5 p.m. to discuss the issues related to Resolution 290 and Item 12.
Correct. Yes, thank you, Councilor Anderson. Councilor Hobbs.
Thank you, President Forsman. I've got a question on Resolution 292. Do we have a map or information which sidewalks are going to be patched and repaired?
President Forsman, Councilor Hobbs, I do not have that handy, but I'm happy to see what staff can provide if that's something you'd like before Monday.
Yeah, I just think it doesn't have to be Monday, but anytime in the near future, because I'm sure we'll get questions of, is my sidewalk being fixed this year?
To be
not my individual sidewalk, but as a constituent asking, is their sidewalk
the record?
Yeah, for the record.
Yeah, and President Forsman, Councilor Hobbs, this does appear to be very specifically associated with water main breaks and the repairs that go along with that. And so if we were able to predict that, then we would have we would do that. And so my suspicion is that there's no map because there's no way to know where we will be doing water main break repairs and where the sidewalk repair would subsequently be needed.
This is for future water main breaks, not retroactively, like after the winter, now that we'll be fixing sidewalks because it's not freezing. Or both.
President Forsman, Councilor Hobbs, it does say specifically for 2022, and so I'm happy to ask for more specifics on if they'll be going backwards to do those repairs. And where they have and have not done them. But I suspect that if they were breaks that happened over the winter and there was not the ability because of the weather to repair the sidewalk, that they are on that list.
Perfect. That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. No other questions? Councillor Anderson, under Public Safety.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 246, authorizing the purchase of self-contained breathing apparatus from Clary's Safety Equipment in the amount of $324,948.
No questions. Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Tamayo.
Resolution 307, amending Resolution 22-0135R to correct the total contract amount from $677,609.45 to $679,064. For contract L30210 with TRC Environmental Services for engineering services from shoreline repairs resulting from the October 28th, 2018 storm. Resolution 308, authorizing application for and if offered acceptance of a grant from the United States Department of Transportation's Rebuilding American Infrastructure with Sustainability and Equity RAISE program for improvements to the downtown waterfront. Resolution 309, authorizing application to the Great Lakes Commission for a grant of $201,430 for ongoing support for habitat restoration in the St. Louis River Corridor and Hartley Park. And if I may, President Forsman?
Please do.
Just a comment about Resolution 308. This is an exciting application that we're making to the Department, the United States Department of Transportation, I believe, for the amount of $12.8 million to help with some improvements to downtown waterfront. And Mr. Phil B. Williams couldn't give us more information if we would like.
Oh, I think we should take him up on that. Let's try out that mic. Welcome, Director Phil B. Williams.
Good evening, President Forsman, councilors. Councilor Tomanek, thank you for the question and the opportunity. yes, this is a terribly exciting opportunity to entirely complete the comprehensive reconstruction and enhancement of our downtown waterfront, inclusive of making the remainder of our downtown lake walk resilient in the face of increasingly fierce Lake Superior storms, inclusive of eliminating the remaining major accessibility barriers on our lake walk, inclusive of completing the vision for Harbor Plaza behind the deck, and even some improvements that will support the coexistence of cruise ships that will begin to visit us, and public use and enjoyment of the adjoining Harbor Plaza area. So if we were able to win to secure this grant, it would be we would be able to complete all of that work in a timely fashion to a very high standard.
Thank you.
Councilor Anderson.
Thank you. Since you're there, Mr. Philby Williams, Brain fart here. With your vast experience doing these kinds of grants and supervising this kind of procedure, what do you think our chances are of getting this grant? And if it does come through, when will you know? And when would the work potentially be able to be done?
President Forsman, Councillor Anderson, our project aligns very powerfully with the federal priorities, and it's a highly competitive process. I am cautiously optimistic that if not in this 2022 grant round, then in one of the next few grant rounds that we would be able to secure federal support.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director Philby Williams. What's mine? Okay. Done with resolutions and on to ordinances to be read for the first time with Councilor Randorf.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 18 is Ordinance 19. An ordinance granting Urbane 218 LLC a concurrent use permit for balconies within the platted right-of-way of 20th Avenue West near the intersection with West Superior Street.
Thank you, Councilor Randorf. No questions. Ordinances to be read for the second time, the first one under Councilor Hobbs' committee.
Thank you, President Forsman. Ordinance 11, an ordinance amending Chapter 6 of the Duluth City Code, updating animal licensing requirements, consolidating chapter definitions, and adding regulations for animal rescue groups and organizations.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. Back to Councillor Randorf.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 20, Ordinance 16, an ordinance amending Sections 50-14.7, 50-15.7, and 50-33.6 related to planned developments. Item 21, Ordinance 17, an ordinance amending Section 50-20.1, G, and 50-41.4 related to cottage home park developments. Item 22, Ordinance 18, an ordinance granting Superior Street Property, LLC, a concurrent use permit for a wall within a skywalk at 309 West Superior Street.
Thank you, Councillor Randorf. No other questions or comments on that ordinance? Anything else, councillors, before we get into our committee of the whole meeting? All right, so this concludes the agenda session, and we'll let, I believe, Jason Hale is going to join us for the next part of the evening.
Well, push that one more time.
Welcome, Mr. Hale.
Good evening, President Forsman and councillors. First, it's a pleasure to be with you. Welcome back in person. It feels kind of weird. I feel like we're breaking some sort of rule, but it's great to see you here. Tonight, I'm just going to give you an update on the American Rescue Plan Act initiative with regard particularly to affordable housing. And so I'm just going to recap where we came from, where we are now, and then where we are planning to go with these funds and the efforts the city has made. So I think Clerk Johnson's going to help me. Thank you. You can look at your screens and above here, of course. This is just, a reminder of the goals that we outlined that we were trying to achieve with these funds. And these are continually on our minds as we're trying to advance some of these projects to include or increase the number of affordable housing units in the city of Duluth. If you can go to the next one for me, please. Just a brief recap. I'm sure you're all well familiar with this. In 2021, in March, the Congress passed the American Rescue Plan Act. And then in May, the city started to receive funds. And the total amount of funds will be about $58 million. Of that, City Council had approved $19.2 million to be allocated for the creation of new affordable housing, which I was delighted by and have been working diligently with our team here to make it work for us. In November, we presented, I think it was actually myself, virtually, of course, presented an allocation plan for how we were thinking about using these funds and how to best leverage them to create more affordable housing. So if you click the next one, this is the proposed allocation plan back from November. It may ring some vague bells. And actually, the plan that has materialized is not materially different from this. If you'll go to the next one, Clerk. Thank you. This is where we have sort of landed. So the top is the permanent supportive housing, and right now we are contemplating an RFP. We're determining whether or not that will be required, but we're trying to encourage some innovative permanent supportive housing in Duluth. And so we've set aside $1.6 million for that initiative. The other two, the immediate below that, the two projects you're probably very, very familiar with at this point, the Urbane Duluth, which is the former Esmond site, and then New Burnham, which is just kitty corner from us at the former jail. Both of those, if you drive by them, you'll see changes. One is gone, and we're hoping to see construction commence there in the next couple of months. And then the other one, of course, is being actively worked on. I was able to tour it last week. It's very interesting. I'm really excited to come back and see units, living units in there. It's a very cool building. Nevertheless, this council approved to provide some additional ARP funds for those projects to increase the number of affordable units and the level of affordability. The last bucket is the lion's share of the ARPA funds that council approved for this purpose, and that is the multifamily affordable housing RFP process that we went through. If you would click to the next. Thank you. Just quick before we get into that, and that's where the majority of my conversation with you tonight is going to be, is focused on that multifamily process. This to just give you an idea of what's coming. Again, we are trying to encourage some innovative permanent supportive housing. So the strong P there. Permanent supportive housing, just for context in this regard, we're talking about housing that is subsidized, of course, on the front end for construction. But on the back end, there are supportive services as a part of the project. So Garfield Square is an example of a permanent supportive housing project where there are tenants that have high barriers to housing, may also be struggling with mental health and or addiction co-occurring disorders. And so we have several of these initiatives and projects in town that are built and are underway, but we also recognize that all of these are reliant upon external funding sources. We don't have a very strong locus of control from the city's perspective to affect these projects and bring them to fruition. So one of the attempts here with this potential RFP, again, we're sorting through those logistics. The goal is simply to figure out how can we create some more of these housing units that are, you know, direly needed in the city of Duluth without having to rely on a competitive process every year. And so we've set aside that $1.6 million, and we're hoping to partner with the St. Louis County as well to bring that to fruition. You'll be seeing more of that in the near future. We'll click on the next. Thank you. Multifamily RFP process. We issued an RFP in November, and I think my next slide goes into that. But, I had asterisked, if that's a word. I think it might be. Whatever. Affordable, to give some clarifying context here. When we're talking about affordable, there, of course, that's up for debate depending on who you ask, and it's, you know, relative to the person you're asking. But in the context of typically in the work that we do, we're talking about anything that is available for rent at or below 80% of the area median income. Of course, the lower that is, the more affordable it is, and we try to bring that number down as much as we can. So the ambition of this process was to, again, create as many of these as possible. We issued the RFP. We received 11 proposals, and 11 good proposals. We're very happy with the response, I think, largely. And then there was a review panel, and President Forsman was on that panel that met, and so it was CAO Schuckman, to review and score and select these proposals. So we were able to do to make selections for six of them. I wasn't on the panel, but I helped facilitate the scoring process. These are the selected projects, and I'm going to briefly go over each of them. I think there's a note at the end, but I'm going to give it to you now. For those counselors who have been on council or other commissions, you'll know that what you see now is not what you're going to see in 6 or 9 or 12 months for the project. Development agreements change, and projects change as we get more details, particularly, I would say, in this environment. It's been very interesting to try to peg details down with logistics and costs the way they are. So I just wanted to offer a large preface and asterisk to this whole thing that as they're currently contemplated, these are the projects that were selected with a recognition that the project details may change over time, are very likely to change over time, but the amount of ARPA that was requested and committed is not going to change unless the projects decrease in scope. It was very clear to the people that were selected, we have a finite amount of these resources. So what we're proposing or what we're selecting your project for is based on the number you selected and not more. Go to the next, if you will. Again, I'm going to just provide a quick overview of all of these, and then at the end, of course, if counselors have questions, I'm more than happy to entertain them. This is the HRA's Fairmont Cottage Village project. I'm particularly excited about that because in my role as senior housing developer, I was able to work with them on this. And it is small, it is 18 units, but it is a sort of pilot project. The HRA partnered with St. Louis County to get the land for this particular project. The county was great to work with. And the short version is all of them, 16 of the 18 are affordable. Clearly you can read the percentages of rents. And two are at 100% AMI. And just for some context, that is typically below market when you look at rents for new products. And that was intentional. The HRA wanted to create a more mixed income environment. They happen to own and operate some properties across the street, so they have an interest, one, for operations purposes, it makes sense, because they can go there and keep maintenance and that sort of thing. And two, they can introduce new, basically single family homes for people to rent affordably in this. And it was just actually mentioned in the consent agenda, Cottage Home Park. This is the first one, that, to my knowledge, the first one that will actually be moving forward in the city of Duluth with development. And the ARPA, sorry, I gave you the wrong look, Clerk Johnson. Did you have a question or?
I'll wait.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. The amount requested was $1 million for that project. Now, the second project is a Center City Housing Corporation project. They're calling it Wadena West. This is DITA-owned property that was assembled with city and HRA previously owned property. And the DITA has an option agreement with Center City actually prior to the RFP being issued. We were working on them with this project. Again, 60 units. This is the permanent supportive housing type that I was talking about. And in this instance, what it means is the tenants pay 30% of their income, whatever that is. If it's $100 a month, they pay 30% of that toward their rent. That's the model of this type of project. And their request is $1.75 million. And you can see to the north, if you can make out on the top left, there's the red outlined property. That's where it is. And just north of that, DITA also owns all of that little pocket before you get to Grand Avenue. So there's room for a second phase of the same type of product or a mixed income product, but we're thinking about phasing this. So this is just the first, and we'll see how this goes. Third is a one roof community housing project they're calling Brayview. This is a really interesting partnership with Essentia Health. They are proposing to create between 70 and 84 units. Again, the scope is a little bit in flux because they're also planning on incorporating a child care facility, which we all know is very needed. And Essentia is partnering with that too to pay for the build out and helping to recruit the providers for that. So we're very excited about this, especially the adjacency to the hospital system. Essentia Health will also be providing 12 units for respite care. And that is essentially care for people who are coming out of the hospital system from a procedure or whatever care they were receiving that don't have housing to go back to. This is the sort of transitional housing for them to recuperate from that care. And then again, the request is $4.5 million for this project. Art Space, I'm sure we're familiar with Washington Center on Lake Avenue. The Art Space Washington Studios actually already exists. There are 39 units presently, but the project was approximately 20 years ago, and so there's definitely some need for a facelift and some reinvestment in that property, which is inclusive of the envelope. So there's some tuck pointing, some windows, some roof repair, and they've actually been to the city asking for the last several years for help in figuring out how to fix the building. So their proposal includes the rehab of all of those units, the investment and fixing of the infrastructure of the building and the envelope, as well as creating 6 new units. There are some quite large units in that building right now, some 2-bedroom units that are north of 1,200 square feet that they realized that they could separate. And that the biggest need for affordable housing is still with singles. The HRA would attest to that as well. There's quite a list, actually. So they're proposing to cut some of those larger units and make them into 2. And of course, you can see the affordability that's proposed, and the ask is for $1.8 million of ARPA. We're almost there, I promise. Roars Companies, you may have seen their sign downtown right now. They're actually working on the former USAN building where the Chamber of Commerce was located on Lake Avenue. Across the street from that Skywalk Connects, this is their first project in Duluth. That was several years ago. Council had approved with the county some tax abatement. Well, they've expanded to that, and they like Duluth, and they want to continue to do work and invest here. So they're proposing 110 units downtown on 2nd Avenue West and 1st Street. directly across from the new Garrick or Pineapple Arts building, if you're familiar with where that is. Right now, there was, until recently, the HCL company was operating. I believe it was a call center out of this space. That building is vacant now, and so this would incorporate a new structure with 110 units at an average of 60% AMI with a $3 million ask. And then the last one, Merge Urban Development. They're the developers that are currently working on the former Esmond site out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. And they, again, like other developers, want to create a little bit stronger presence here. And to do that, they need to build more units. So this is a site that DITA assembled with help from the county and the city. And the holiday companies were actually generous to provide this site to DITA. I think it was for $10. So we've assembled this last year in anticipation of a project, and it just happened a little more quickly than we thought. They're proposing 79 units, and right now the average AMI is about 70%. Just a quick note, part of the reason that it's higher is because they're not relying on tax credits or any other external funding sources. This is more of an affordable workforce product. So as soon as they get their plans and the site all ready to go, they can start. They can start, and they're planning on starting this summer. So that's part of the reason. It also diversifies the type of product that we're selecting here. And the ask was for $4 million of ARP. Something that I think is worth mentioning. One thing that came out of this is these are scattered throughout the city, as you can see. So we have six different sites offering portable housing in different parts of town, which we, the panel, from my recollection, felt positive about. And it just so happened that we had set aside approximately $16 million for this. And the we didn't fix any numbers, I promise. It came out with these top six that were scored. The top six were $16,050,000 was the asks. So it lined up quite well. And we're very excited to see these move forward. If they do, there will be a total of 382 units, 380 of which will be affordable below 80%. And most of those will be affordable below 70%. So that's quite a wonderful injection of affordable housing into our community. And like it says on the screen, we're very delighted that we can use this ARP money to leverage, you know, probably it will be upwards of $100 million of additional investment into the city. Not to mention, of course, the primary objective of creating more affordable units. Questions? I know that was a lot.
Thank you. That was a lot, but it was very easy to digest, too. Councillor Timonic, you had your hand up first.
Thank you, President Forsman. I have three quick questions. I'm assuming that these are all rentals?
Correct, Councillor Timonic. Okay.
And can you tell me on some of the developments, there are different AMIs? 50%, 70%, 80%.
Councilor, yes, that's correct.
Will there be different sized units, or is it simply based on the individual's ability to pay that much of their income?
I see. Councilor Timonic, I think I get what you're asking. So there's a range across all of the six proposals or projects. There is a range from, 30% of their income, which could be 10% AMI, for example, for the permanent supportive housing projects. Those are the deeply subsidized. For those with the highest barriers, there's a range of that to 100% AMI, the two 100% AMI units from HRA. So there's a quite a, obviously the basically a whole range of affordability across all of these six projects, and there are a range of units from studios to two bedrooms. I think two bedrooms is there might be one with three bedrooms, but most of them are studios, ones and twos, and they're all rentals. Does that address your question?
Pretty much. As a follow-up, are those AMIs tied to the various size of the units in any way?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yep, there will be a mix of different unit types at different prices offered.
And my last really quick question, you answered part of it, they need to be started by?
The actual construction needs to commence. Let me back up. According to the Treasury guidance for the American Rescue Plan dollars, we have to commit, the city has to commit the funds for a purpose by the end of 2024.
Okay.
And they have to be spent out the door by the end of 26.
Does that mean they'll be completed? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Does that mean they'll be completed by 2026?
They should probably. They will very likely be completed by 26. The goal was, and part of the reason that we did this quite quickly in context, was because we wanted to make sure that we leave enough time in case things don't get funded. There are several projects that are relying on 4% tax credits. And we want to make sure if for some reason those don't get the funds they need, we have enough time to redirect those funds for other purposes, for other affordable housing purposes. So we're trying to give ourselves as much margin as possible, recognizing that some of these things can take several years and a couple of application rounds. But the goal here is, of course, to have specific projects committed we have to by the end of 2024. And how we get there, we have a little margin.
Thank you. That was very, very helpful.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councillor Timonic. Give it to Councillor Mayo.
I was going to say Councillor Anderson was on it. I just have two quick questions. For One Roof's Brayview, is there any talk of maybe a partnership with the Bob Tavani Respite House? Because I know that respite was part of that plan. Has that been discussed at all or no?
President Forsman, Councillor May, I don't believe so. And in part because this is a particular partnership with Essentia. So Essentia is providing the parking. They own the property. So they're providing the lot. They're also paying for some of the units for the respite care. And they're going to be helping with the child care. So I think for that reason that they didn't explore that opportunity.
Okay, that makes sense. Thanks. And then the second part was, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like the Merge Urban Development on Grand, that one's right next to the Wheeler Complex, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is that going to be tied in with that park infrastructure at all? Or are there going to be, you know, access points or trails that lead to the Wheeler Complex? Or
at this point, that hasn't been discussed. I mean, it's, of course, an opportunity, but right now we're working on site plan and trying to get that dialed in. There might be opportunities. That's probably a good question for you, Director. Oh, he's gone. Sorry. Director Phil Williams was behind me when I got up here. You would have to ask him if he's has plans for that, but I know there's certainly conversation and focus being paid to how to safely get pedestrians to Grand Avenue and, of course, making that change across the street and into the bus line and so on. So that will be coming, in other words.
Okay. But so far, there won't be, like, any impact on that natural area there?
No, well, the natural, if you mean by natural area, the trees and such.
I guess there's trees there.
Right, yeah, now. Those are going to be impacted for the development. But there's still going to be actually behind the development, there's a buffer between Wheeler and the ore docks. There's still going to be about an acre and a half or so of trees and green space.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Councillor Mayo. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, President Forsman, and thank you, Jason, for this presentation. Can you send us the PowerPoint?
Certainly.
That'd be sweet. So a couple of questions. The $1.6 million to directly address homelessness, and lately, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I've been getting emails regarding a program from CHUM called Stepping On Up. I'm sure you're aware of it. You know, $1.6 million, when we look at, you know, this whole picture of $19.2 million, you know, we have 400 people on a given day sleeping outdoors in the city of Duluth or homeless in the city of Duluth. Is $1.6 million out of this $19 million enough? I mean, granted, we're building many units that are affordable, but I'm really concerned. And also, so there's two questions. Is that enough in general? And then what about the Stepping Up program specifically?
President Forsman, if I may, I'll start here, Councillor Anderson. That 1.6 is for one specific project, and that's why that dollar amount is tied to it, as it is half of that project, and the other half would come from the county. With regard to the Stepping On Up program, the mayor and I went along with President Forsman and members of staff, and I'm forgetting exactly who, on a tour with the Affordable Housing Coalition and CHUM in December, I want to say, and looked through a number of options. The one of the options that is part of that plan in phase three is the concept that is being funded with that $1.6 million. So that dollar amount is actually part of addressing that Stepping On Up plan. That plan cumulatively is about $33 million, which is past our ability to fund and the county's ability to fund in the short term. But we do continue to have ongoing dialogue with the coalition that put that plan together to figure out how to make progress on all phases of that plan. And so I'm happy to talk with you more about that. But specifically to your question and this, that one allocation of $1.6 million, it is for a specific project and it is addressing one portion of that plan.
And if I may, Councillor Anderson, I have actually worked with Joel Kilgore to invite the Affordable Housing Coalition to council chambers on the 25th for the committee, the whole meeting that I'm calling to have them present to us on both their work and the stepping on up plan. So we'll have a chance to hear directly from them about that this month.
Great. Thank you.
One more thing, Councilor Anderson, if I may, Councilor Anderson. To President Forsman's point, staff have also been working closely with the Affordable Housing Coalition and helping communicate what we can do to help. And your concerns are not without merit by any means. But something that I wanted to point out is, for example, the Center City Housing Project, that 60 units that was selected, that is also for that population struggling with or experiencing homelessness. So one of the big challenges is those projects require effectively 100% subsidization. And so with the 1.6 that was set aside is to try to create a new type of product on a smaller scale to see what works. And then if that is replicable, that can be done across the county and the city. But again, to actually fund one of those without relying on a 9% or something tax credit project would take the entirety of the funds that were allocated for that purpose.
Thank you. And if I may, one last question. Also in recent days, I'm assuming other councilors got a similar email from ACO about a project that they are very excited about out in Morgan Park. Where would that fit in? Doesn't seem to fit into this plan. Your recommendations for how any actions that this council needs to take, or how do you feel about that program?
Councilor Anderson, actions the council needs to take with regard to ACO's proposed project. In fact, that will be coming to council for support along with the rest of the applications that will be coming to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency's super RFP process. So every year, council reviews resolutions of support for those projects. And so the email that I believe Director Little Wolf had sent was basically letting councilors know, hey, this is coming up. This is the project we're proposing. City staff have reviewed their proposal and their project, and we're supportive of supporting that resolution. But they did not, ACO did not apply for the RFP program. So they weren't considered because there was no proposal. But we are supportive of that application for the Morgan Park project.
Councilors, if you didn't happen to read that in that email, if I'm correct, that was 60 units or so at 30% AMI. So some deeply, deeply affordable housing. So thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Councilor Anderson. Councilor Randorf.
Thank you, President Forsman. Just one more follow-up question. Thank you so much for digging into the 1.6 million. A lot of those questions have been asked that I was thinking about. I know we've been talking about that 1.6, it will be part of the county's going to come, part of the stepping on up plan. But some of our conversations around the table have been about that San Marco type of very highly supportive housing. Is that what you're talking about? Is this money, will that go to that type of project, the blend that you had just described?
President Forsman, Councilor Randorf, can you be more specific when you say this money?
Yeah, so when we're talking about the 1.6 and Councilor Anderson asked if it was enough, and you mentioned, he also asked about the Stepping On Up program. You mentioned that this was just a portion of it. The county's also coming to the table with money. And then you talked about your tour, the $33 million, that it's a piece of it. You did mention this is a piece. My question, I guess, specifically is it covering that piece that we keep kind of hitting our head against the wall on, that super supportive San Marco-style addiction counseling, mental health counseling type of housing we need to keep these folks that have a lot of barriers?
President Forsman, Councilor Randorf, as I understand it, the project which we have generally been calling internally the One Roof New Model project is part of the phase three, which I believe is the next phase of what you're talking about. The project, and as I understand it, and President Forsman, please chime in here as well, or Jason, is in that second phase of that. And so I don't believe that we're quite to that, to being able to address that, although I know there's discussion happening about how to do so. And certainly I would defer to Mr. Hale or to President Forsman if I've got a piece of that off. But I think that's correct.
Thank you, CEO Schreckman. Just a clarifying point, Councilor Randorf. The project that is being contemplated for the $1.6 million allocation is would be housing for those that are hardest to house with the highest needs. So the population that we're referring to, as is the project that Center City Housing is proposing at Wadena West. So that's when I made a distinction about permanent supportive housing. It is for the folks that are dealing with co-occurring disorders or just are experiencing homelessness. What that population of folks that need housing, that's what those units are for. The 1.6 just happens to be to try to do something outside of the bounds of requiring external funding to see if we can get creative. And the project so far, the project costs are about 2/3 of what they would normally be, give or take. So there are already some streamlining of costs and services that can be provided. So we're just trying to get, again, creative as a community and figure out, let's try this out. And the county sounds like they're wanting to step up in partnership to help sort that out.
And then just one other follow-up question. Another project, HRA, the cottage homes. I believe that was $1 million, right?
That's correct.
And what is the HRA part of that? Is the $1 million the total of the project? I mean, those would be $55,000 a unit. It must be more than that, right?
Councilor Randorf, if it was $1 million, I would be building those all day long. unfortunately not.
So what's the totality of the project?
The total project cost is about $4.5 million. So the HRA is planning on, they have $1 million of Hope 6 money, legacy Hope 6 money they're contributing, and they're also going to be bonding for the balance. You're welcome.
Councilor Mayo.
Just one last question. I was curious. I had a constituent within my district who had a proposal that didn't move through and didn't get funded. But I was just curious, with the projects in general that didn't move forward, do you know of any that are still going to try and pursue their development without these ARPA funds?
There we go. President Forsman, Councilor Mayu, I have strongly been encouraging it to do so. We need housing of all sorts and of all levels of affordability, and so we are still working with several of those parties to try to figure out how we could come alongside them to help the project. It will change in shape. The affordability will be less because they're not receiving the assistance, but we would still like to see them proceed.
Thanks.
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, the mayor and I have continued to be part of not all, but some of those conversations as well, as we are working to continue to make projects viable, whether they're part of this package of funds or not.
Thank you. I was going to ask a question that I see is on your slide, so I'll hold that one and let you close after I ask one question. But first, I just wanted to say job well done by all of you to bring forward 380 out of 382 units of affordable housing with this money. And we were very clear in the selection process that market rate housing is great, but we have tools for that, whether it's tax increment financing or at certain points tax abatement, but that this money was set aside really to fund affordable housing projects. And so that is exactly what was brought forward. And the fact that we can stretch our dollar that far is impressive. I also just want to give kudos to one of the partners mentioned on the One Roof project, Essentia. I met with them last year to talk about childcare at their invitation and how they could be more involved, and through that partnership, there is a child care center that would be built into that project downtown, which is really exciting and serving multiple needs, not just housing, but other things within our community too. And Jason, I will let you have the last slide here.
Thank you, President Forsman. I just want to say, Council, it's been, for those of you I've been able to work with, it's been a pleasure. Councilor Mayu and Councilor Wall, I'm sorry I haven't been able to work with you as much, but I my last day of the City of Duluth is next Friday. And so it's very bittersweet for me to share that with you. And I'm sure many of you have heard this, but I just want to say thank you for your support of Housing Duluth. We cannot do this without you. And as you all know, and you hear, I'm sure, every day, and I work in every day, the need is great and people are very concerned. But it really takes all hands on deck, and it really takes the support this council has given staff and administration to pursue these things. So thank you for my part. It's been a pleasure, and I know there's been some bumps, but I think we're on the right trajectory for sure as a city. And with that, before I go, I wanted to introduce you to the housing team that I have had the pleasure of working with. We have Teresa Baida and Brecker Celius. They're on the housing team in planning and economic development. They're fantastic. You will be in wonderful hands. But I wanted to make sure you got to put some names to faces, as you probably see them coming before you in the coming months. So thank you very much. That's it, unless there were more questions. Okay.
That's it. Thank you, Jason. All right, counselors, we'll see you Monday.